it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello and welcome to the Rest Is Football question and answer episode with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. Thank you once again for sending in your questions. Much appreciated. Let's get going. Oh, nice one here. We're going to start with this one from Dean White, and it's a question for Big Meeks. This is a good one. You can only pick one club to support from now on. Who are you picking? Leeds, Manchester City, or the Arsenal? And he says here, don't sit on the fence. And that's exactly where he's going to park his arse.
Harrogate.
Harrogate. No, we've come up with another one. Harrogate. Yeah.
Oh. Come on, Meeks. Who is it?
Come on. I mean, all right. Okay. Let me have a think about this.
Remember who peers you.
All right. Oh, my God. City.
There you go.
City.
I knew you'd say
if
that.
In doubt, yeah. Go where the cash is.
Money talks.
They saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart. Without a love of my own. Blue, blue. Come on!
Sit down! Dear, I know that that's not true deep down in his heart. A question from Simon Lillibury. Why are there two coin tosses for every penalty shootout, especially at Wembley? You should either choose the end the pens are taken or get to take first, not both. You are handing a massive advantage to one side if they win both coin tosses. And it is never discussed. Is that a good point?
Do you think it makes that much of a difference that you're shooting at the end where the other supporters are?
It wouldn't to me.
No, me neither.
I don't know.
Me neither. It wouldn't affect me.
And also, I think it's interesting because everyone thinks going first is better in the penalty shootout, but I don't think stats over time support that.
I used to always want to try and go first, yeah, because I always felt if you go first and you score, it just puts that little bit more pressure on, but...
Yeah,
I don't know whether it makes any difference or not.
I could get some stats, though, that the data has shown there is an advantage going first. Roughly 60% of sides go first win. So, I mean, there is a pressure penalty when you're going second, isn't it? I mean...
Fucking hell, you've done your homework for once, haven't you? I'm impressed, Meeks. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Always for you boys, you know that.
60%, Micah.
60%, correct, okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So then I think Simon's got a point, though, because, you know, if you choose to go first, you should probably go to the end that you don't want to. Or what do you think? Does it make any difference?
Flipping a coin's fair, though, isn't it? If you're doing two coin tosses, it's probably the fairest way to do it, would you not say? But I understand his point, having both, but it's done fairly, isn't it?
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I understand this point, but...
Well, it's normally, it's the same thing you could argue at the beginning of game, isn't it? I mean, it's obviously, it's the most meaningless kind of thing at all, is which, you know, when you toss the coin at the start of the game, if you choose to have the kickoff, the other side gets to choose the end.
Yes.
I presume that's still the case, isn't it, having not played a game for 30 years? It's something I've never really taken much notice of. It's kind of a fairly futile exercise, just spinning a coin to decide which way you kick, because both sides are the same, aren't they? Except you like to kick towards the Gallagher, and Liverpool like to kick towards the Kop in the second half, don't they?
Yeah.
A very easy question for me to answer. I'm not sure about you two. From Qualette, what's the best goal you've ever seen scored against you? Easy. Diego Maradona's second goal, not the one he punched in the net. His second goal against England in the Azteca quarterfinal of the World Cup. Unbelievable.
I don't think I've ever had that question before.
Great question.
Yeah, I don't think I have as well.
Good question.
Easy to answer for me because of that. It was so staggeringly good.
Easy to answer for me as well. Wayne Rooney, we all
Wayne
know
Rooney's,
that.
Yeah.
I've explained it many times before. Yeah.
Maybe the one that Rooney scored against you, Alan, wasn't he, when he was complaining at the referee?
Yes.
That was good.
Unbelievable strike.
I was stood right behind that, 10 yards behind it, looking at it, thinking, oh my God, it's gone in. No. Unbelievable volley, yeah. Yeah, probably that one.
When he ran past you, did you go, that was a good goal, Wayne?
I did, yes. I think I said it slightly more choice words, Gary.
Yeah. What did you say? Go on.
I think I told him to fuck off.
Question from Gerald Lepkowski. Have you ever cried as a supporter at a football match? And what was the context? I cried when I missed that penalty against Brazil. I didn't actually, I laughed. I've definitely cried when Leicester won the league. And I definitely cried when Leicester won the FA Cup, as Alan was right next to me. And I had to hand to Alan. I went, Alan, help, because I couldn't speak. Because I thought my dad suddenly, and he'd watched Leicester play in 4 FA Cup finals, and he'd died a year or two before. And for some inexplicable reason during the coverage, I just said, I'm just thinking of my dad now, and he missed. And as soon as I said that, I welled up, and I thought, oh, God, I'll take over. And when they won the league, I cried. And I cried when Ranieri and Bocelli on the presentation day, and Bocelli was singing and Ranieri was next to him singing Nessun Dorma, and it was, I went again there. That was in the office at Match of the Day. I cry a lot as you get older.
I don't think I have. I can't remember myself. No, I'm waiting for Newcastle to win the FA Cup.
I can't imagine you crying, Al. I don't know why.
It's no, I don't think I have. Have you, Micah?
Big Meeks doesn't cry. Come on. No, I've not actually. Not at a game. No, I've not. I've cried when my old physio at Man City got cancer, and I came through the academy and was in a room before I was about to go out for a match, and it got addressed to us. And I think that's the only time I've cried in football, actually. But it was just, and he recovered, and he's totally fine now. Robin Sadler. He used to be at Man United as well as physio, but not at a game, no.
That's a good one. It is a very good question. You know, it's one of those, but Benadra Naim. Gaza or Waza?
Oh, man.
Gaza or Waza. Wow.
Oh,
it's a tough one, though, isn't it?
I've got to say Waza. I have to say Waza from my generation, and because of the longevity. At one point, he was England's highest scorer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And until he got overtaken, he was Man United's all-time scorer as well, wasn't he? I think we've got to say Waza. I have to say Waza.
Well, for balance, if you're saying Waza, I'm saying Gaza.
All right, in that case, I'll go Gwaza. on this point, I mean, fuck, right?
They're
very similar in many ways, you know, in terms of their ability. Gaza was probably more of a dribbler. And may I announce that we're due that we'll be talking to Gaza on the podcast in the very, very near future. So therefore, I should probably say Gazza. I played with him, obviously, for club and country, and an extraordinary human being. In terms of pure talent, as good as anyone I ever played with. But having watched Wayne Rooney as well, different skills, different abilities, but kind of similar personalities in some way. But both wonderful, wonderful players. So, yes, Gazza.
Can you tell him when he comes on the pod that my name is Micah, not Miguel?
Miguel. You can tell him.
I'm not telling him.
I love it. Don't worry about that. I've got a question from Jet, which is primarily to me. Apologies, chaps. I've just returned from an incredible trip to Japan, including Nagoya, which I enjoyed. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about your time in Japan. What was the day-to-day experience like, e.g. the culture, food, language, lifestyle, etc.? Thanks. I love my time in Japan, apart from on the... Well, I didn't get on the pitch. That was the main problem because I had real bad injury problems there and only played about 15 games in the 2 years that I was there. But the lifestyle was, it's a very clean place, a very safe place, culturally fascinating, incredible history. And the food was, as you ask, was absolutely wonderful. And it's not just, people think, oh, Japanese raw fish, but it's not just sushi and sashimi, it's all sorts. The food experience there was absolutely amazing. It would always be in my top five cuisines of the world. And living there was really, everyone was so polite, so kind, so pleasant. Actually, the football side of things, it was a new league at the time, so it's, you know, but the enthusiasm for it. Have you ever been to a schoolboy international at Wembley in the old days when they used to, it was basically all school children in the crowd, and it was kind of high pitched and a lot of squealing and stuff, and it was very much like that. There was a lot of kids and young girls and a lot of excitement. You were treated like the Beatles when you were a player, you know, just getting screamed at all the time, which was a bit mad. But I love my time there. It was really great. And it's absolutely, if ever you get a chance, anyone to go to Japan, take that opportunity. Fabulous experience.
And what about the language? Come on, did you learn the lingo?
Hono skoshi dake.
What does that mean?
That means he made an absolute fortune.
It's all he thinks about, isn't it?
Well, sorry, Gary, what does that mean?
That meant a little bit. I could survive when I was there. I could tell, you know, I could ring up and book a restaurant and tell people, you know, I could get by, be polite, couldn't have a proper conversation. It's very difficult, but tried my best. Also, when I lived there, I was in an apartment. The very confined spaces in Japan. Everyone lives in small... We had like a two-bedroomed little apartment. And I was there for 2 years, and it was really nice, really pleasant. And then I left. And actually, Arsene Wenger joined Nagoya after I left, and had great success there eventually, which to me showed how good he was, because when I left, I think we were near the bottom. Don't blame me, I was injured anyway. So, and then Arsene Wenger came in, and then I read David Dean's book, and he talked about when he signed Arsene Wenger from Nagoya Grampus 8, and he told the story that they were kind of negotiating and talking via fax in those days, and David Dean said every time the fax came through, it had my name on the top because Arsene Wenger went into my apartment and obviously used my fax machine, didn't even buy his own bloody paper, and he had my name on every fax at the top of it. So,
brilliant.
Amusing little anecdote. And on that note, we'll take a breather.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Welcome back to the Rest Is Football question and answer episode with Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and me, Gary Lineker. And we've got a question here from a certain Alistair Campbell. Now, I'm pretty sure that is the Alistair Campbell, co-host, of course, of the Rest Is Politics, one of our sister podcasts. Alistair says, and it's not even about Burnley, which I'm surprised. He said, why can't football learn from rugby league and make VAR part of the spectacle for the people in the stadium by letting them see what the VAR sees when they see it? I absolutely agree with that 100%. The communications for people in the stadium at present with the football is desperate. It's dire. You don't know what the hell. All you see is checking for offside or checking for a possible penalty. And you then sit there in the dark for a minute, 2 minutes, sometimes three, four, even 5 minutes. And it's hopeless. I mean, it's bad enough for even watching on TV. You don't get that much feedback, but at least you can see the television's replays and stuff. But in the ground where people pay their money, I just think it's a very unsatisfactory experience.
I think that'll come. It has to arrive. I mean, when, how long that takes, I don't know. But inevitably, it has to come because it's absolutely right. The people that are paying the money to get in the stadium, the fans, are the last ones to find out. And that's not right. And they haven't, at times you haven't got a clue what's going on. And that has to change and will change. But I don't know when.
I think that probably the reasoning behind it is because they're scared of any problems, crowd disgruntlement, people kicking off if the decision goes against them and something they can see. I think that's probably their defense, but I don't buy that now because people will know pretty quickly anyway with social media, etc., if they've messed up.
Yeah, but the debate, you know, I agree with both of you. It should be on screens. Fans shouldn't be the last to know what's going on. But you know that's going to create a wider debate though, don't you? Across social media, that everyone's going to be hanging on to every single word what has been said, and it's going to be used to advantage for one person and a disadvantage for another. That's the only thing I can think of why they've not.
Here's a good one, Micah.
What is it?
From Will Hobbs. It's to you again. Ugh. Presumably because you've worked with all three, and I don't think Alan has. Start, bench, sell. This is a very easy answer. Dave Jones, Gary Lineker, Mark Chapman.
Good one. Come on, Meeks.
And if you don't put me as the best player amongst those three, I don't care about presenting, but at least I mean, you're going to start, bench, sell. So presumably that means football-wise. No, I think he means presenter-wise, but I think obviously as footballers, crikey, surely. I mean, surely.
You know who to bench anyway, don't you, Micah?
On the advice of counsel, I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incriminating and respectfully decline to answer your question.
Good, I'm glad you did that. Can I ask you the same question? But it's just purely as footballers.
On what, the advice now? Of counsel, you'll still be on the bench.
I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination and respectfully decline to answer your question.
Okay, understood.
There's no way in a million years I'm answering that. Not a chance. I'm on the fence. I don't care. Give me some lube or whatever I need to sit on the fence.
Some lube. What sort of fence are you sitting on?
Still mine.
I'm riled up. I don't care. I'm not answering. I'm on the fence and I don't care.
The podcast has reached a new low. A new bottom, dare I say. Oh, God. I think we need to move on quickly. Johnny asks, do you think due to Poch's charisma and friendship with pundits, presenters, means he gets an easy ride? I feel he has avoided any real criticism on how he sets up the team due to people's focus on the recruitment policy at the club and his friends in the media.
That is a great question.
It's a fair question. I think it's a fair question because Poch is a very likeable human being, and I think that will always slightly affect perhaps people's opinions. He's had a really good managerial career and he has come in at a time with a club in turmoil. There's no question about that. Huge squads messing about. But has it, do you think, deflected slightly possibly from criticism? Maybe?
I think what has slightly taken away a bit of criticism is because the vast majority know what goes on at Chelsea in terms of the recruitment, the contracts, where they think they should be, where they are, etc. I mean, at times it's like it's a barn part of a football club, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly difficult. But having said that, you know that as a manager or a coach when you go in there. So I don't think we can protect them from that. But I would say that's the reason why.
How many of them players at Chelsea has he signed? I think that for context, that needs to be...
I always think that's really difficult to know, and we don't know what influence a manager has, do we, on signings at football, and it varies so much at football clubs, and managers never really tell you. So I think it's hard to know, isn't it, how much influence and what say he has on the players that come into the football club.
I think that's why he would be protected to a certain extent. Al's completely right. If we're talking about the owners all the time and spending so much money, and then we're asking ourselves, how much influence can a manager have on that side of it? So then you take that into context for the overall opinion. Of course it does help. He worked with us at the BBC, at the World Cup. He was a lovely man, knows the game really well. Obviously, certain jobs have not gone the way we all expected, but he did well at Spurs. Look what he did at Spurs. Got to a Champions League final, got them into the Champions League regularly, playing really good football. So we're subconsciously, we're thinking about what he did there as well. But in answer to the question, I think if you have good relationships with people, of course, that always helps, definitely. But I wouldn't say we would be biased towards him. But if something's 50-50, we might err on the side of caution, let's say.
Indeed. Question for Alan from Tom Reagan. It was rumoured at the time that when Newcastle signed Big Dunk, it was on Alan's recommendation as he thought they would be a good partnership. Is this true? Also, what was Dunk like as a partner and a bloke?
No, that wasn't true. I mean, I didn't get asked about him at all. But having said that, he was an unbelievable player and a great lad to have in the dressing room. And you could see, you know, standing in the tunnel, that some defenders were absolutely petrified of him. They were scared to even look at him at times, such was his the aura around him and his personality. But he was a great lad. He's a great lad. And he was a brilliant player. Just injuries. He just had too many injuries. He was quick, very good touch technically. I mean, he was unbelievable in the air for when crosses were coming into the box. Yeah, and he had the fear factor. There were so many defenders that were scared of him.
Was he as aggressive as people say? Or that was he? Yeah. Yeah. He's a hard man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a hard man. But you know what? He was a really good, fair man. And he got on with everyone. There was nothing big time about him. He was just
so
normal.
He'd only knock you out if you're out of order.
Yeah, he would just give you the death stare, and that was enough. If he stared at you, that was enough. You just backed off. He was a great lad.
Most red cards in the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't think his style would go down too well in the Premier League today, do you?
A question from Darren Williams. Question for all of us. Which England players from the Euro 96 team would you put in your current England team? Mm. For example, I would swap Pickford for Seaman. Like Micah, this podcast has burst onto the scene and I'm loving it. Well, thank you, Darren. Ooh, which players from... Well, we should ask you that question first, Alan.
I would have David Seaman in, without a doubt, yeah.
David Seaman in. And yourself you put in, obviously, ahead of Harry Kane, even though his record's way better than yours. Gaza?
Yeah, Gaza peak. Yeah, I mean that you'd have to get in the team, wouldn't you, Gaza? There's no doubt. You'd have to make space for him because in his peak and his prime and that goal against Scotland, then yeah. It's a tough one, you know, but you go up against you go up against the players. You've got Adams would without doubt get in.
Yeah, because that's probably the one area of this England team where it's not as strong.
Stuart Pearce would get in.
Yeah, left back. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Declan Rice, Paul Ince, very similar.
I think the front six would, you know, from the modern team. I mean, we can't even work out what the best front six is in this current squad, but I think most of them would get in.
What about you, Al? You've not put yourself up there.
Of course.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I'd be playing.
Because he picks it. I tell you what, Micah, the one thing possibly lacking in Alan's career was a bit of confidence. Can you imagine how good it'd have been if he'd have believed in himself? here's a question, which brings us back to my favourite subject at the moment. Who do you reckon will finish second in the championship, and who do you reckon will win the playoffs? Well, as we speak, the title is not quite decided, but Leicester will be going up. So let's say which of the other two sides, Leeds or Ipswich, will join them. It's looking more likely to be Ipswich, isn't it? And that's, Mike is obviously a man born in Leeds.
Yeah, I think Ipswich probably just pip them.
Southampton for the playoffs.
You're going Southampton?
Got to, my old club.
In the playoffs, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna go Leeds in the playoffs. They're gonna bring an army down out the Leeds.
Yeah. So therefore Ipswich will be the other promoted side.
Yeah, so Ipswich go Leicester. Automatic, and then I'm gonna say Leeds through the playoffs. Yeah.
I don't mind now. As long as Leicester are up, which they are.
All your stress is off.
Good luck to all the other teams fighting to get in the Premier League. Andy Appleby, have you or a teammate ever fallen out or not got on with one of the other players where it's had an impact on the pitch? Always rumours that Cole and Sheringham hated each other and never spoke other than on the field. Yeah, I think that's probably true, isn't it, about Sheringham and Cole? That's common knowledge, isn't it? But they still, I don't think it necessarily affected their performances and played well together. I never had anything like that in my career.
No. You get on with your teammates, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you have little fallouts and something, but they're always put behind you, aren't they, quite quickly. Yeah,
not everyone's going to be your best friend. It doesn't work like that, but it's, you just go out and you play and you do your stuff, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Micah, any?
No.
Apart from Zabaleta, obviously, but...
Oh, Zabaleta used to piss me off so much because you wanted to hate him, but you couldn't because he was too much of a nice guy, you know?
He's a lovely guy and a bloody good player and made such a difference to Manchester City over those years. here we go. Final question.
Ooh.
Mike Millward, probably a Villa fan. Is Ollie Watkins being overlooked for player of the year, as I don't ever hear him being even mentioned as a possibility? Well, he should certainly be in the final six, I would say. He's had an absolutely brilliant season. You know, in terms of his goal involvements, he's up there with the top players right across Europe. He's consistent. His finishes improved immeasurably this season. It has to be in contention because it's quite open, isn't it? It's quite open this season. There's no absolute obvious. People like, you know, Foden, Odegaard have had absolutely brilliant seasons. Declan Rice.
Saliba,
Rodri. Probably come from Manchester City or Arsenal, will it?
You would think it would come from, whoever wins it. But Ollie Watkins, has to have a show. He has to be up there you're right, top five or six. There's no doubt about it. He's had an unbelievable season. Goals, assists, definitely.
Yeah, I think the voting's about due, and I do vote in the Football Writers one. And I think I'm going to give it to Phil Foden. I think he's been amazing this season.
Agreed. But Watkins has been sensational too.
Yeah. Watkins would definitely be my top three, I think.
Definitely as well, I agree.
Along probably with, maybe, I don't know, it's hard. Arsenal, there's so many good, you know, you've Saka, Odegaard, Declan Rice, Saliba. I mean, could be any of those, but it's I think it's quite tough.
You should hold tight. You shouldn't vote yet because there's so much thing can happen.
It was easy last year with Haaland.
Haaland was a shoo-in.
8 million goals.
He walked it, didn't he? And no one could argue with that. But I'm not going to vote yet. I think there's still time for someone to make a big impact. I mean, if Ollie Watkins goes and scores two hat tricks in the next three games or whatever, then you'd have to put him in there. So, I'm going to wait. I'm not voting just yet.
When are we going to do our team of the season? That's the question.
I think we should do that after the season concludes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After the Premier League season finishes. I think that's a good idea. We'll definitely do that and see how many we agree on.
Yeah.
We'll pick our player of the season, maybe a goalkeeper of the season. Well, it's a good idea for an episode. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that, we promise. But for this week's question and answer episode, that's it. So goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.